We'll see how the organization responsible for preserving Louisiana's French culture bounces back from a potentially devastating budget cut.
We'll also hear about how Louisiana fares in terms of math scores, and we'll find out what teachers around the state are doing about it.
We'll see why Rapides Parish residents are taking to the polls this November, and why the future of their libraries hangs in the balance.
We will also have coverage on the 15-year-old girl from Doosan who has been missing for over 5 months.
And finally, we will see what organizations at UL Lafayette are doing to help their candidates win the presidential election. These stories and more, up next on Louisiana Focus.
Local jails are facing the burden of finding ways to make up for lost funds due to the overcrowding in jail cells. But the parishes are now finding ways to make ends meet. Blair Blanchard has more on the story.
In order for local jails to be able to remain open and functional, Department of Corrections DOC prisoners are being housed in order to gain funding from the state. Warden Wesley Hayes of the Iberia Parish Jail faces the ultimate dilemma of the need to house DOC inmates to compensate for the lack of funds while at the same time avoiding overcrowding in order to serve its main purpose, to house Iberia Parish prisoners and keep the promise of public safety.
The biggest challenge in keeping a jail operational is lack of funds and the amount of prisoners in the jail on a daily basis. A lot of jails in the state and the country remain overcrowded and don't receive the amount of funds that it takes to house a prisoner every day to offset that cost.
Warden Hayes also feels that working with Louisiana's court systems in order to speed up the court process would allow for a faster and more effective way to process parish prisoners and provide justice and safety.
One of the biggest problems with this now is the speed that the court system goes through to prosecute and sentence inmates. We have inmates that sit in jail on parish offenses for up to 2 to 3 years before they finally are done with the court system. And what it does is it clogs up the population because some of these people cannot bond out and they have to wait till they go to court. But we can only process them as fast as the courts move.
For local jails to hold a DOC prisoner, the cost is set at $35 per day. However, the jail only receives $24.95 from the state. This results in an approximate $10 loss of funds, which are needed in order to keep the jail open and running. Danny Barra, supervisor for the DOC, Department of Corrections, Probation and Parole, says the main issue is finding a balance between funding and function.
The warden's dilemma and controversy is always comes down to how many DOC prisoners can I hold and still fulfill the needs of the parish that I'm trying to serve. And that is really the controversy of the day.
As a DOC supervisor, Barra feels that local jails housing DOC inmates is a necessity for parish jails. Approximately 55% of DOC inmates in Louisiana are being housed in parish jails as opposed to state prisons. The purpose of local jails housing DOC prisoners is to attempt to offset the operating costs to ensure that the jails remain open, which further ensures both justice and safety to Louisiana's residents. For Louisiana Focus, I'm Blair Blanchard.
UL Lafayette began offering a minor in the spring of 2012 that has been controversial. Ariel LeBlanc has more.
The University of Louisiana at Lafayette offers over 100 minors to its students. In the spring of 2012, UL Lafayette became the first college in the state of Louisiana to offer students a chance to minor in LGBT studies. LGBT studies allows students interested to explore historical and cultural issues impacting lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender communities. It is a minor that UL Lafayette student Samuel Jones feels was desperately needed.
I feel that when it comes to LGBT studies, it's something that's very timely and needed considering what's happening in the world today.
Like Jones, many others believe that this curriculum is needed. including many UL Lafayette faculty members. However, despite their beliefs, there has been controversy surrounding the minor in recent months. UL Lafayette music instructor Sean Roy says that the issue could be a misunderstanding of what the minor is about.
People misunderstood it. I think they thought they were trying to have people major in this study. And what they didn't understand was that it was a minor, which was made up, from what I understand, of classes that already exist in the university. I think people thought, oh, they're creating this whole curriculum. It's like, no, the curriculum is made up of courses that are already being offered, and they just put these specific classes together.
As instructor Roy explained, the curriculum is composed of classes that the university already offered. He feels that anyone, no matter their major, can benefit from an LGBT minor.
Well, your knowledge of the community and how they feel towards certain issues and stuff will benefit you greatly. And I think taking these courses that are dedicated to that field is a great benefit to almost everybody on campus.
Jones agreed with instructor Roy, saying that the minor would provide students interested with a better understanding of the LGBT community.
Seeing how much attention it gets in day-to-day life. There's so many celebrities that are coming out. There's so many more LGBT people that you see openly in the news and in the media, and people that you see every day at work and in class. It's very timely to help people understand the people that they see and they work with, that they interact with every day.
Despite the controversy which came from conservative lawmakers and religious leaders, the University Faculty Senate has overwhelmingly passed a motion to offer more support to students interested in LGBT studies. And although some professors have asked that their classes not be included in the minor, there are still enough classes for a student to create an 18-hour minor in LGBT studies. For Louisiana Focus, I'm Ariella Blanc.
CODAFIL has spearheaded the preservation of Louisiana's French heritage since the 1960s, but recently suffered a budget cut that could have ended the organization forever. Now CODAFIL is bouncing back with Acadiana's help. Elizabeth Rose has the story.
Whenever Louisianians hear French spoken on radio, television, or in the classroom, chances are one organization is owed thanks for keeping the heritage language alive. CODAFIL, or the Council for Development of French in Louisiana, has kept the French culture flourishing in our state since 1968, when Governor John McKithen and the Louisiana legislature funded it for the first time. When Governor Bobby Jindal surprised Acadiana with a line-item veto that slashed the budget for CODAFIL by 40% this June, Acadiana refused to watch its French heritage fade away. Why the cut? In his veto letter, Jindal said CODAFIL was adequately funded. Aaron Stickney, communications attaché for CODAFIL, says the $100,000 cut would have debilitated CODAFIL.
What we were looking at was a total operational budget of $157,000 for the upcoming year, which means if we were to pay off our agreement, our annual agreement that we have with the Belgian government, pay our rent, and pay our, you know, operational bills like electricity, would be $4,000 in the negative.
Since then, Stickney says fundraisers and individuals have raised $90,000, which allows CODAFIL to continue recruiting and training immersion teachers, ensuring that Louisiana is represented on an international scale and acting as the liaison for foreign agencies. 12% of Lafayette Parish students are in immersion, but don't call French a foreign language.
People refer to the French language elsewhere, you know, as a foreign language. Here in Louisiana, we refer to it as a heritage language. Because, you know, of course, it's part of our past, it's part of our heritage, it's part of our ancestry, but it's not just a thing of the past. Heritage is something that you keep alive on a daily basis. And not only that, Louisiana has become this force throughout the world that's recognized and respected as a French-speaking entity.
Former CODAFIL employee Valerie Broussard Boston is a leader of Francojeune, a group of young professionals that pushes for utilizing French in business interactions. Francojeune organized an online campaign that raised $30,000 for CODAFIL. With its restored budget, she says connecting Louisiana to the rest of the world is the next priority.
But once you actually realize how connected La Francophonie is and how supportive they are and how they want to integrate everybody, then you feel like you're part of something much bigger than just Lafayette.
Though CODAFIL was stunned by the cut, it is looking ahead with the support of Louisiana politicians who understand the importance of the state's French heritage. By 2015, CODAFIL hopes to have at least one French immersion environment in each of the 22 Acadian parishes and build a stronger youth base that will create a stronger French presence in Acadia. For Louisiana Focus, I'm Elizabeth Rose.
In an effort to increase math scores around the state of Louisiana for grades kindergarten through 12, teachers are banding together. Janet Hollinshed tells us more.
Louisiana is in an educational slump due to bottom-ranking math scores throughout the state. Since 2007, its national ranking has been 44th and below. In order for things to change in Louisiana, teachers are coming together and forming better teaching skills for children. The University of Louisiana at Lafayette has received a $1.8 million grant from the National Science Foundation, or NSF. In order for NSF to fund a grant, the proposal must be creative as well as exact. Professor Peter Shepard, along with three other professors at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, wrote and submitted this grant. Professor Shepard heads the Department of Curriculum and Instruction in the College of Education at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette and is in charge of using the grant towards Louisiana's Mathematics Masters in the Middle program.
Louisiana Mathematics in the Middle program is my creation. National Science Foundation has a project that's specifically designed to develop master teachers. It's up to the grant team, so to speak, to develop their own specific project. So our project was Louisiana Mathematics Masters in the Middle.
20 effective teachers are to be chosen from Iberia, Vermilion, and Lafayette parishes, and their teaching skills will be further improved. Professor Kathleen Lopez, who is also heavily involved in writing and creating this grant, shares her excitement about this outcome.
I get a chance to actually have the funds to support really good teachers, which a lot of times when people complain about education, they complain about the bad teachers, but they don't see the really good ones out there. So it's a chance for us to actually make a huge impact and at the same time reward the good teachers for having done what they're supposed to do and being innovative all these years.
All 20 teachers chosen will receive a $10,000 stipend per year for 5 years and will also receive certification as a Louisiana Elementary Mathematics Specialist. For Louisiana Focus, I'm Janet Hollinshed.
Supporters of the Rapides Parish Library System are asking taxpayers to vote for a library renewal tax. Emily Page reports there could be cutbacks if the issue fails.
On November 6th, residents of Rapides Parish will be voting on a very important issue. The issue is whether voters will continue to levy and collect a special ad valorem tax for the 8 libraries in the parish. If passed, this tax will begin in 2014 and end in 2023, collecting an estimated $4.6 million per year. If voters decided not to continue the tax, the estimated 45,000 and some odd borrowers would revert somewhere else to their library needs because essentially, all 8 libraries would not sustain without this tax. The possibility of seeing the library close its doors in Alexandria due to lost revenue is especially depressing to Allie Nallen, an LSUA student.
If the renewal tax did not pass, I wouldn't be able to borrow the books that I like to read for my enjoyment or go to the library and study.
Rapides Parish Library System officials and supporters are preparing a final push to sell voters on renewing the tax that supports local libraries with the bulk of their funding. Steve Rogie, director of the system, explains the importance of the renewal tax.
The tax money is 93% of our budget. It is almost everything we have to operate on. Without it, there would be no library. This is not an increase. This is a renewal of the 7 mills and small change that we've been getting these last several years and hope to continue to operate on.
When asked about alternative funding for the library, Rogie said, not much.
Almost none. There's a tiny bit of state aid, state revenue sharing. There is also a few grants that we're able to get, but as I say, over 90% of what we use comes from this tax.
Compared to Lafayette Parish's 10 libraries and Rapides Parish's 8 libraries, there are 171,000 borrowers in the Lafayette Parish Library system. In terms of tax dollars collected per capita, Rapides Parish Library is a bargain. The tax paid per person for libraries in Rapides Parish is $33 per year. In Shreveport, Monroe, Lafayette, Lake Charles, and Bossier City, it ranges from $39 to $54 per person per year. If voters continue the support for the library as they did in the last election, there will not be any closing of the 8 libraries, and the 45,000 borrowers of Rapides Parish would continue to enjoy the services of the library for years to come. For Louisiana Focus, I'm Emily Page. Keosha Felix is a Doosan teen who has been missing since April 30, 2012. The search for her whereabouts extends from Doosan to Baton Rouge. Chelsea Taylor has an update.
From May 19th until August 10th, local as well as national news broadcasted daily about the missing Lafayette woman, Mickey Schoenig, in hopes of finding her. However, the same media coverage is not taking place for the Doosan teenager, Keosha Felix, who has been missing since April 30th. Kristen Askelson from the Daily Advertiser says that it is due to her lack of family involvement.
Family's very splintered, and there's not this cohesive family unit that is looking for her and that is reaching out to the media and that is pressuring police and sort of carrying the same message to everybody.
Not only is Keosha's family not reaching out to get her story covered more, but the fact that there has been many glitches in investigations since the coverage began has not made it any easier.
I haven't had the same media exposure, but I think that the media, the same effort to look into both cases. And I think that just because of the nature of the cases and how different they were, and the fact that many, many more people were willing to talk about the Mickey Schoenig case, that's the main reason why she has had so much more coverage.
Okay.
Will
that answer my question?
Mm-hmm. Although the media may feel that they are doing what they can with what they have, Executive Officer Captain Kip Judice of the Lafayette Parish Sheriff's Office feels as though the family is cooperative in their extensive search to find Keosha.
I think the family has been as out front as we've needed them to be. They've been very cooperative with our agency. There are in some instances that we would, I guess, appreciate more openness with regards to Keosha. But generally, it's not been a problem working with that family. They've been available to us when necessary.
Unlike Mickey Schoenig's case, it has been rumored that Keosha Felix may be classified as a runaway rather than a missing person. However, Captain Kip Judice, along with the Lafayette Parish Sheriff's Department, are not as worried about her classification as they are with finding her.
No, Keosha is considered an endangered missing person. The manner in which she became missing is still questionable, whether it is an abduction, whether it is a runaway, whether it is she was enticed to go to do something illicit. Is still unknown. When we investigate a missing person case, we don't close any doors until we have some evidence that indicate that that's not an option. So certainly in the Keosha Felix case, we continue to explore any of those opportunities. It's possible she's a runaway. Having said that, that's the instance. We don't know that.
The search for Keosha Felix has not ceased. The Lafayette Parish Sheriff Department is working alongside with Doosan Police Department as well as the FBI in hopes of finding her.
I want to remind the public, and this is a big deal for us, is that there's currently a $5,000 reward being offered by the Federal Bureau of Investigations for any information that leads to Keosha, finding Keosha. So, you know, it's a good incentive for someone to call. That, you know, you might not realize how important that tip or that information you have is. Let us make that determination. Let us do the investigation and find out.
Until local media gains more information about the case, there is nothing they could do but wait until the local authorities get another lead. For Louisiana Focus, I'm Chelsea Taylor.
Both Democrats and Republicans are represented on the UL Lafayette campus, and the parties have been hosting functions in preparation for the upcoming presidential election. Victoria Paradin has more.
UL Lafayette students give applause to the guest speakers at the Know Your Candidates Forum.
The forum gave students the opportunity to become more knowledgeable about this upcoming presidential election. And both speakers shared why they think their candidate is just what this country needs.
I'm a conservative here from Louisiana, and one of the biggest issues I'm really thinking about in the United States right now is, of course, the economy. The national debt had actually hit $16 trillion just 2 or 3 weeks ago, and that's one of the biggest concerns of me right now. Of course, it's going to face our futures later and, you know, our future children's.
The Political Science Club and the Student Government Association also hosted an event, a political debate watching party. Jolan Jolivet says the event was a success.
We had a political game where one side of the room was the Republican side and one side was the Democratic side. And what they did was they raced to the White House. It was a really fun game and really brought out some campaign techniques that you actually see on TV. And that was a huge success. And then we started to watch the debate. And overall, it was a very good night.
Jolan Jolivet feels that what this country needs right now is to see Obama in the Oval Office for another 4 years. He says he's voting for Obama because of a lot of social issues that are important in the election right now, such as women's rights, marriage equality, and especially Obamacare.
I feel like not only does Obamacare help people out individually, but it helps out this nation as a whole. It keeps people healthy before a situation gets worse. It also lowers the deficit by $1 trillion over the next 20 years. And I just feel like that's what we need right now. We need Obama to be reelected for another term in office.
David Neef feels exactly the opposite.
Right now, we want to make sure we have a candidate who's strong enough to make sure everything goes well in the Middle East. Our relations with Iran is going well. Same thing with Russia, too. Kind of pulling for Mitt Romney just for a little change, because we do need help with the economy. We do need help with unemployment. We do need help with a little bit of foreign policy. But as Americans, we need to understand that whether Democrat or Republican, we need to watch out for each other.
Voters registration was offered at the Know Your Candidates Forum, and shirts were sold as well. The slogan of choice, vote now, cry later. Both events were successful, and they each had someone representing both parties. Which leads to the question, what will be the outcome of this election? Elections are coming up close, and we are soon to find out. For Louisiana Focus, I'm Victoria Perry.
Louisiana Focus is a production of the Communication Department in the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. It is produced in association with KRVS-FM. Today's producer is Janet Hollinshed. The director is Blair Blanchard, and the faculty advisor is Professor Bill Davey. I'm Emily Page.
And I'm Elizabeth Rose. We'll see you next week.
And join us next Monday for another edition of Louisiana Focus, a production of the Communications Department here on the campus of UL Lafayette.